Good morning, New Cornelians, family, friends, distinguished guests, and orientation volunteers. My name is Michael Sugihara, and I am the chair of the Orientation Steering Committee. We'd personally like to welcome you to beautiful Ithaca. I hope the move-in process went well, and I'd like for you to join us in giving a warm round of applause to the more than 700 orientation volunteers. Who, by our calculations, lifted 15,000 boxes, 3,700 alarm clocks, 3,700 iPods, and roughly 25,000 pairs of shoes. I would also like to ask you to join us in recognizing the university officials who are here with us this morning. Please hold your applause until the end. Catherine Bohr, Dean, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. Laura Brown, Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education. Joseph Burns, Dean of Faculty. Lance Collins, Dean, College of Engineering. Kent Fox, Provost. Carol Grumbach, Associate Dean of Students. Kent Hubble, Dean of Students. Michael Johnson, Dean, School of Hotel Administration. Stephen Johnson, Vice President for Government and Community Relations. Sarah Jones, Assistant Dean of Students. Kent Kleiman, Dean, Architecture, Art, and Planning. Barbara Newth, Vice Provost and Dean, Graduate School. Peter LaPoche, Dean, College of Arts and Sciences. Alan Matthews, Dean, Human Ecology. Lee Melvin, Associate Vice Provost for Enrollment. James Mingle, University Counsel and Secretary of the Corporation. Susan Murphy, Vice President for Student and Academic Services. Mary Opperman, Vice President for Human Resources. David Scorton, President. Robert Smith, Associate Dean, ILR School. Robert Abrams, Emeritus Trustee. Robert Appel, Emeritus Trustee. Alan Mittman, Trustee. Carol Newman, Emeritus Trustee. And student elected trustees Alex Boris and Derek Evertson. Also here with us is the President of the Student Assembly, Adam Gitlin. Thank you. In addition, I'd like to acknowledge the members of the 2012 Orientation Steering Committee. They're also sitting on stage. They've been working since last September to make much of this coming Orientation Week a reality. Amanda Brown, Jason Button, Renee Curlis, Andrew Ebanks, Joelle Jack, Zoe Lusher, Nicholas Parisi, Kale Smith, Georgia Somer, Nicholas St. Fleur, Kevin Tobin, Lenny Vasquez, Valencia Washington, and Rhea Sarah Yalman Chile. Thank you. Now please join me in welcoming Student Assembly President Adam Gitlin.
Welcome, new students, family, friends, and administrators. You know, I thought I was going to be nervous up here, but thankfully the sun's in my eyes, so I really can't see anyone. My name's Adam Gitlin, and I'm president of the Student Assembly, Cornell's undergraduate student government. As I graduated high school, and right before I was in your position as freshman at Cornell, I took a gap year. I traveled and worked on some political internships. At one internship in particular, my supervisor asked me to prepare a briefing memo about the economy, right when the financial crisis hit in 2008. I was completely overwhelmed. I had no idea what I was doing in that position. After I worked really hard, though, after a couple days, I turned in my briefing memo, proud of it, thinking that, you know, I had done a good job. But my supervisor handed it back to me and said that it was very sloppy. And at this point, I can imagine that any of you could have done a better memo than that at the time. But rather than criticizing me or even disciplining me, he taught me a lesson and used an analogy to convey a message, a bridge-building analogy. He said that there are two types of people. There's one bridge builder who you could give all the specifications, and that person would build a great bridge. It would be fine. But then there's a second type of bridge builder who you'd give specifications and directions to, and he or she would go completely above and beyond and build a magnificent bridge far beyond what you could have ever imagined. That bridge builder was proactive in the bridge that he or she created. To this day, I remember that moment vividly. On the surface, it was a simple analogy about being a proactive person. But to this day, I incorporate it into things that I do at Cornell, or I tried to incorporate it as I continued my time here. I tried to incorporate it into the communities I sought out, extracurricular activities, and also the people who I met. Similarly, as you begin your freshman year at Cornell, there are a few key lessons that I want to share of ways you can proactively build bridges here on campus that have made my time here especially transformative. First, find your community. Being a part of a community is an important way to spend time here while on campus. Whether it's your friends from your dorm, sports team, Greek house, participating in a service project, whatever it may be, it's an important group of people where if you need to take a break from the library or go on a trip down to Apple Fest or Chili Fest on the Commons in downtown Ithaca, they'll be there for you. These are the people who you'll stay up all night, hang out in the dining halls, and have conversations that'll illuminate your interests and values. Actively search out that community while at Cornell and build that bridge. It's very important. A second important area where you should actively build a bridge while at Cornell is getting involved in contributing to student life here on campus. Student life, Cornell student life, is an incredible way to get involved, and there's a diverse range of opportunities. You'll find people who are just as interested in the activities that you are, whether it's a club sports team, a student-run farmers market, student-produced plays at Risley, the Glee Club, or the Chorus. And if you are interested, there are a lot of them over there you could ask questions. There's even the Human Flight Project. That's right, there are students on campus who are working to develop technology for humans to fly. I thought about reaching out to them to do a demonstration, but I wasn't sure that it was the time and place for here. But note my words, finding that exact club, activity, or passion isn't simple. And you should definitely try a lot of different activities. But constantly ask yourself whether those activities that you are engaged in represent how you want to spend your time and whether it's a good use of your time, of your resources and energy. And I can't help but plug the Student Assembly, as my predecessor, Natalie Raps, did last year. There are 4 freshman seats open in the fall and 1 transfer seat, so feel free to email me if you have any questions. The final part, the third part of building bridges on campus that I would recommend is building bridges between differences that exist within your class. Each of you comes from different backgrounds, ethnicities, religions, and hometowns, and all parts of the world. Students in your class speak different languages, appreciate different customs, but you're all now part of the class of 2016 and the greater Cornell community, a community that teaches us to celebrate each other's differences and a community that binds us despite each other's differences. As you continue with your Cornell education, proactively build bridges across difference. Spend time at places like 626 Thurston, the Intercultural Center, or just hanging out with friends on your floor, where you can learn about yourself by learning from people who are different than you. But perhaps most importantly, as you will realize just four short academic years from now, and I assure you it will go very quickly, you'll be sitting here in the same stadium as proud graduates of this institution. Your experiences building bridges at Cornell will have allowed you to explore and understand yourselves just a little bit more. And I'll have taught you how to continue this process far past your time here on the Hill. Thank you very much, and welcome to Cornell. And now I have the pleasure of introducing the undergraduate student trustee, Alex Boris.
Good morning. For what must feel like the 100th time, welcome to Cornell. I know this must be exciting. When I was where you are now 3 years ago, I remember feeling thrilled, anxious, and incredibly tired. Seriously, how did they expect us to wake up at 8 a.m. after our first night at college? Many of you are probably feeling a little bit homesick right now. For others, your parents just left. Good riddance. And you're excited to start the next 4 years of your life. Either way, you have just joined a distinguished group of scholars, which include 41 Nobel laureates, 28 Rhodes Scholars, and Bill Nye the Science Guy. You have come to a school with campuses all over the world, including here in Ithaca, Qatar, and now Google's building in New York City. But most importantly, you've begun your own legacy at Cornell. This university means many different things to many different people, and over the next 4 years, you will shape it to be your very own. As you begin your Cornell quest, I have but three pieces of advice for you. First, and parents, you're gonna love this one, stay on top of your laundry. My freshman year, I received a note from the judicial administrator informing me that my room was so messy it presented a fire hazard. Don't be me. Second, and slightly more seriously, remember that you belong here. The admissions office does not make mistakes. There will be times when you will feel entirely overwhelmed. There will even be times when you could get a C. That's okay. Everyone has struggled, and everyone needs help at times. But there are resources here to guide you every step of the way, so take advantage of them. You beat out 31,689 other applicants for your spot, many of whom were themselves qualified. So remember, you belong here. Third, make the most of your time. By earning admission to Cornell, you have given yourself a remarkably rare gift. Only 6.7% of people on Earth older than 15 can claim that they have a college degree. 6.7. One out of every 3,300 can claim that they have an Ivy League education. And only about one out of every 20,000 can claim that their leadership, service, and character made them worthy of a Cornell diploma. Just to put that in perspective, you're about four times as likely to hit a hole-in-one on a full-length golf course than you are to get into Cornell. You're about twice as likely to win an Oscar. And according to NASA's earliest estimates, you're about 1.5 times as likely to witness the end of the world by asteroid during your lifetime. So parents, in case you needed another thing to worry about. But in all seriousness, make the most of your time here. Most of you only get 4 years, unless of course you're a transfer student or an architect. But either way, relish every moment you have. Take a class in a subject you know nothing about. Join a club you thought you would never be a part of. Or maybe even audition to be our mascot, the Big Red Bear. You may not fall in love with everything you try, but you will regret all of the opportunities you let slip by. And I promise, if you do this correctly, when you're sitting on this field in 4 years for your graduation, you will feel just as thrilled, anxious, and incredibly tired as you are right now. Thank you. It is now my pleasure to introduce the University Glee Club and Chorus. The Glee Club was recently named the second best university male choir in the world. Please. And the chorus, their female counterparts, claim to be even better than the second best male choir in the world. They will be performing Song for Cornell. Thank you.
Thank you, Chorus and Glee Club. So as Alex said, you've probably heard this many times, but I am also honored and thrilled to welcome you here today. And like Alex, I think I remember very clearly feeling very dazed, anxious, and totally confused as to why we were awake at 8 a.m. in the morning on a college campus. So again, welcome new transfer students and class of 2016. Today marks the beginning of your Cornell career. You have come from all over the world, and each of you bring with you incredible skills, minds, and accomplishments. Many of you were leaders at your former school, and now at Cornell, you may feel pressured to likewise leave your mark. Yet, what does that mean? It has taken me until the beginning of my senior year to recognize that true impact is not found in indicators people might typically use to define success. I would like to share with you two qualities of impact that I have learned while at Cornell: service and identifying a source of purpose and passion. As a new student entering Cornell, I measured my impact by the number of awards that I had earned and the extent of my popularity. So as a result, I found myself constantly working to impress others, often with little success. And everything from how I looked to attempting to join every wonderful club and organization that Adam mentioned earlier. My desire to impress others only left me exhausted, stressed, and self-absorbed. But I'm here to tell you today, fellow Cornellians, that I have found that lasting impact comes not through an impressive resume, but rather in moving beyond myself through purpose-driven service. See, service creates avenues in which we can influence the way that we view ourselves, but more importantly, can influence the way that others view themselves. Listen to an excerpt from Cornell's mission statement. As a land-grant university for the state of New York, we apply the results of our endeavors in service to our alumni, the community, the state, the nation, and the world. Service is not only a core virtue of this great university, but also a mark of influence and leadership, and ultimately, impact. In these first few weeks, the temptation to seek to impress will be great, for in truth, you are presently surrounded by some of the greatest and brightest minds in the world. However, I challenge you, even as you begin your orientation week, to pursue ways in which you can serve, and in turn, seek to not simply impress, but to impact. So these first few days, you know, can be a daunting time. And I remember how incredibly nervous I was about everything. Would I be able to handle my classes? Would I make friends and connect well with my roommate? More importantly, would my pants still fit after a steady diet of Cornell dairy ice cream? They didn't. And just like any new experience, there were challenges. In only my first week, I had managed to spill my whole tray of spaghetti in the Appel dining hall all over this girl that I liked. Did not end well. I also stumbled in half asleep 35 minutes late to my 12-person writing seminar, only to find out that it was Wednesday and the class met on Tuesday. Further adding insult to injury, I was locked out of my room with only a towel on, twice. And the first grade that I ever received at Cornell was a 78. Out of 174 on my general chemistry prelim. Clearly, I had it all together. However, it was also during this challenging transition that I first traveled to Guatemala City and found that I was intensely driven to serve children and orphans in need. Through this experience, I had identified a source of purpose and passion in my life. Today, there are over 145 million orphans and abandoned children in the world. Over the past 3 years, my belief in service has provided the perseverance to struggle through difficult academic semesters as I sought to learn about public and global health related topics. Even further, this passion and purpose provided the courage for me to sacrifice internships and opportunities this summer so that I could join my fellow Cornellian who is literally walking across America to bring awareness about opportunities to people to serve children. I can honestly say that it was the most incredible summer of my life. Our sources of purpose and passion not only allow us to overcome the challenges that we will face, but spur us on to impact and influence. So, what will the next 4 years hold for you? These can be such fruitful days of exploration and wonderful opportunities to be able to grow and experience the wealth of diversity that Cornell possesses. I encourage you to reap the most benefit from these first few days and weeks. Just go. Go confidently introduce yourselves to strangers. And many of you have realized, you can do that with just about anyone this orientation week. Go to orientation events. They will be awesome. Go to class. Go easy on the ice cream. Or maybe not. More importantly, I urge you to go serve. Consider these questions as you ponder your upcoming year. What is it for you? What is your source of purpose and passion? In what do you find joy? Maybe, like me, it is serving children, and maybe not, and that is okay. Find some way in which you can serve while you are here at Cornell, and seek to identify sources of purpose and passion in your life as you serve. You were made for impact. And so again, I ask you, as the newest members of the Cornell community, what is it for you? Thank you. And now, I have the pleasure to introduce a board-certified cardiologist, a university administrator, a saxophonist and jazz aficionado, an advocate for the arts and humanities, and Cornell University's 12th president. Dr. David J. Scorton holds faculty appointments in internal medicine and pediatrics at the Weill Cornell Medical College in New York City, and in biomedical engineering in the College of Engineering here on Cornell's Ithaca campus. President Scorton earned his bachelor's degree in psychology in 1970 and an MD in 1974, both from Northwestern University. Following a medical residency and cardiology fellowship at the University of California, Los Angeles, he went to the University of Iowa as an instructor. He was president of the University of Iowa for 3 years, beginning in March 2003, and a faculty member of the University of Iowa for 26 years. President Scorton and his wife, Dr. Robin Davison, are extremely excited for this journey you're about to embark on. Don't be surprised if you see them enjoying a meal in one of the North Campus dining halls, at an orientation event, or just hanging out in one of your new favorite spots on North Campus. Please join me in welcoming Cornell's 12th president, President David J. Scorton.
Good morning, and how many parents out there or family members would like to follow those three great speeches? Not so much. Thanks a lot. Those were very, very meaningful remarks, and it's wonderful to get to work with you. And I want to add my welcome to everyone. Welcome to Ithaca, and welcome to Cornell University, and give yourselves a hand. Whether you're a member of the class of 2016, or a new transfer student, or a graduate student, or a professional student, or a parent, or a family member, or a friend of one of the new students, I welcome you to the university and to the start of what will be a transformative journey, not only for you, but for all of us at Cornell, because you will change Cornell during your time here, just as I believe Cornell will change you. I'd also like to let you know that among these august people sitting in front of you are two deans, the Dean of the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, Catherine Bohr, and the Dean of the College of Human Ecology, and one dean who was not here, the Dean of the College of Veterinary Medicine, Michael Kotlikoff, who are all three parents of students in the class of 2016. So we're all in this together. And students, before I launch into the remainder of this dry prepared speech, I want to urge you not to worry too much about your laundry and about your sleep schedule. In terms of your laundry, From personal experience, or from experience of being a parent of a recent college graduate, you'll know when it's time to do your laundry when you have nothing to wear. And in terms of sleep, enjoy the fact that you can sleep till 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock if you can. Your parents and grandparents will tell you there will come a day where you can't sleep anyway, so just enjoy it now. Now, today is the last day of Ramadan, and I hope that the upcoming Eid celebration brings joy to all Muslims in our Cornell community. This is the beginning of an academic year, and it's always a time of optimism and excitement. And as Adam and Alex and Michael so eloquently stated, along with the members of the Chorus and Glee Club, Cornell is a strong and talented and positive and supportive community comprising people with wonderfully varying interests and perspectives and ideas, different ideas that will challenge you in your own thinking. I'm glad that every one of you and your families are becoming part of the greater Cornell family, and I look forward to getting to know you better. Vice President Susan Murphy and I host student office hours in my office from time to time during the academic year, and we will get to know some of you better individually through that mechanism. We meet regularly with the student leaders from the Student Assembly and the Graduate and Professional Student Assembly and the Greek Councils and Student Trustees. And I try to keep in touch with students through a column that I have about every other month in the Cornell Daily Sun and through regular meetings with the Sun's editors. And I'm going to share with you my email right now, my private email. It's david.scorton@cornell.edu. Now, if you have a problem, I first want you to try to figure it out on your own. I want you to talk to the people who are supposed to help you with those problems. I want you to try to problem solve throughout your career, starting this week, as much as possible by using your skills and your resourcefulness. But if there comes a point where you need to talk to someone else and you can't figure out who that might be, I want you to write me, david.scorton@cornell.edu. And most importantly, when you see me walking around campus, take a minute to stop and introduce yourself for just a couple of minutes so that we can get to know each other better. There are 22,000 of you all together as Cornell students and only one of me, so don't talk long. But stop me on campus so I can get to know you. Now, your sleep schedule and my sleep schedule don't exactly line up. Just when you're getting going is just when I am gone. But during those few hours when we overlap in the world of awakefulness, try to stop me and say hi. Let me tell you a bit about yourself. First of all, the class of 2016, entering first-year students this year, come from 47 states in Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, and about 10% are international students from 46 countries, and on this campus, about 18% of our students are international students from over 120 countries. About a third of you, more than a third of you, self-identify as students of color. You were selected, as Alex referred to, from among 37,808 applicants, making the class of 2016 the most selective in Cornell's 147-year history. Now, I was a transfer student when I was approximately your age, if you can imagine such a thing. And of the 561 entering transfer students, there are about 128 students identifying yourself as students of color and 31 international students. Welcome to every one of you. Welcome to Cornell. I'll share a little bit about Cornell with you. Nearly 150 years ago, the university's founder, Ezra Cornell, aspired to create a kind of university where, in his words, any person can find instruction in any study. I didn't know Ezra, but I think he would be impressed, very impressed and pleased by how this lofty, ambitious vision has come to be fulfilled. And not surprisingly, not only does Ezra have advice for you through that slogan, but I have some advice to offer you on top of the very good advice that you've already gotten from your three fellow students. First, college should be a time to pursue intellectual passions and take intellectual risks. You have some 4,000 courses to choose from at Cornell University, plus opportunities to perform research and creative activity and scholarship. And I hope you will somehow make time every single term to take at least one course or choose at least one activity just for the sheer joy of learning and doing something different. Here's one way to get started. Next Tuesday, check out the Explore series. These are workshops marked with exclamation points in your orientation guide. These are interactive sessions that are led by some of the great faculty at this university based on multidisciplinary so-called university courses that they will be teaching this fall and next spring. And they include a lot of fascinating subjects, among which are the history of exploration on sea, land, and space, the influence of social networks, whatever that is, and hip-hop, rhythm, words, and life. You may be interested to know that the Cornell University Library has the largest archive and collection of literature on hip-hop in the world. One of these courses, one of these Explore courses, might just open up a whole new area of intellectual interest, unleash a lifelong passion for history, or music, or science, or art, or in some other way enrich your life. Take a chance. Second, please get to know your professors, of course in class, but also out of class. Cornell faculty members, as you've heard, are world leaders in their fields or on their way to becoming world leaders, and they care deeply about teaching. The most sought-after accolade among faculty at this university is the Weiss Presidential Fellowship, which is an award given for excellence in undergraduate teaching. Take advantage of your faculty members' office hours. See if you can do research in their laboratories or their studios. Ask questions during class or after class. And get to know the faculty beyond the classroom. One of the great advantages of our compact community is that you can get to do that. Right on campus, there are faculty in residence and faculty fellows on the North Campus where you'll be living if you're in the class of 2016, house deans and professors and house fellows on the West Campus if you're living there, and you may discover a shared interest in soccer or singing or black and white photography or one of the most popular pursuits on campus, reading my old speeches. Now, you've been introduced a little bit to my wife, Professor Robin Davison. I'd like Professor Davison to stand up and be recognized. Robin, welcome. Robin is the Andrew Dixon White Professor of Molecular Physiology, and she's a brainiac in the College of Veterinary Medicine and the Weill Cornell Medical College, but most importantly, she leads a knitting group at Becker House on weekday evenings during the semester, and if you'd like to learn how to knit, you can go to this knitting group if you can get in. You will meet a faculty or staff member during your small group discussion of the new student reading project book, The Life Before Us, on Monday. Now, in my group, I'm going to ask on Monday how many of the students actually finished the book, and then we're going to get a correct answer. Today, in front of your families and parents, how many of you read the whole book? Yes, of course you did. That's good. How many of those people who said they finished the whole book liked the book? A smaller number, okay. Well, I actually liked this book this year, and I'm a hard grader. And if you happen to meet in my discussion group on Monday, we can kick it around and compare notes and talk about the literature and what we gain from it. The prospect of reading a book together is a fabulous way to begin an intellectual journey that will become scattered and various and to do something together. And I want to thank Vice Provost Laura Brown and her colleagues for all the work that goes into the reading project. The Carol Tatkin Center on North Campus is a good place to meet faculty members in addition to class, as well as to get walk-in help with your writing, meet with a TA or meet with a study group, and find a course review session. Now, my third piece of advice echoes the advice that you've gotten from the student leaders here to become an active member of the Cornell community and of the wider communities. In his inaugural address in 1868, Cornell's first president, Andrew Dixon White, told the first Cornell students, "You are not here to be made, you are here to make yourselves." And that message is very timely even today. Your college experience is in your own hands, and you're the ones who will make it work, and I know you will. Cornell students have been rising to this challenge from A.D. White ever since. Some of you came to Cornell a week early to volunteer in the community through the pre-orientation service trips, the POST program, and I hope that experience will inspire you to continue to volunteer and serve, as Michael has mentioned. The Orientation Steering Committee and hundreds of volunteers and resident advisors are helping you to acclimate to Cornell during the first few weeks of the semester. One of the things you will experience is something called the Tapestry of Possibilities Workshop, which is led by students in the Ordinary People Theater Troupe, to explore what it means to be part of a truly multifaceted community. And each year, I gain from and I learn from and I really enjoy Ordinary People, and I believe you will as well. Now, harking back to some of Michael's remarks about service, this year is the 150th anniversary of the Morrill Act of 1862, which created the so-called land-grant universities like Cornell. If you haven't run into that term before, in 1862, Congress passed this act, which gave each state land somewhere in the U.S. The state was allowed to sell the land and take the proceeds to start an institution of higher learning if that institution, in addition to studying the classical disciplines, would do something to serve the people in agriculture and what was called then the mechanic arts, which we now call engineering. And Cornell is proudly the land-grant university for New York State. As part of that tradition, and in addition to the formal outreach and extension activities, each year Cornell students, you and your colleagues, provide some 400,000 hours of service through the Cornell Public Service Center, through service learning courses, and through the activities of, get ready for this, more than 1,000 recognized student organizations. Yes, students over the years have created over 1,000 student groups. Amazing. I hope that you will continue the custom here of active participation as you put your own stamp on Cornell and even create your own new organizations. My fourth piece of advice is to hold yourself to high standards, the highest standards of ethical conduct in everything you do. You already do this, and it's great to emphasize it while you're at Cornell. If you see something that bothers you, tell someone. Don't be a bystander. Help each other. One example is cheating. The Tatkin Center is offering a session tomorrow on cheating, the psychology behind it, the ethical dilemmas and temptations that all of us face, not just students. Sometimes we don't understand that our behavior constitutes cheating, particularly in this day of the internet and access to information. It's particularly confusing what constitutes plagiarism. So please read the Essential Guide to Academic Integrity, which all of you should have received, and which will help you abide by Cornell's Code of Academic Integrity and also avoid plagiarism. My final piece of advice for you this morning is actually for the parents and the families and not for the students. Families, as you know, college years mean substantial adjustments, not only for the student, but for the whole family. The fact that you have new students at Cornell, whether freshmen or transfer students or graduate students or professional students, mean that the family's done a very, very good job and your children are bright and motivated and accomplished and capable of doing well here or at any college. As a parent of a fairly recent college graduate myself, I can say that the next few years may be a bit tumultuous. Students explore. They try new things, that from food to religion to politics. Sometimes these explorations are spectacularly successful, and sometimes, as all of us do, they make mistakes. Stay in touch with your daughters and your sons. Text, email, call, Skype, become Facebook friends. Come back to campus for first year parents weekend in October if you can. Listen carefully. Offer suggestions tactfully. Give love and support unequivocally. And in the great majority of cases, please try hard, really hard, to give your children, your family members, the space, time, freedom, and respect to find ways to solve their own problems for themselves. In the vast, vast majority of cases, they will, even if at first they may wander a bit and try out multiple paths and change directions and then change them again. That said, if problems are unresolved and if you sense something that is truly wrong, please let us know. There's a family guide that you were given that contains a wealth of resources that you may find very, very helpful while your student is here at Cornell. And like your student, if after you go through all of the usual pathways, you want to talk to me about it, send me an email, david.skorton@cornell.edu, and we'll interact by email, and we'll find a way through it together. Now, the last thing I want to mention today is the fact that we're going to join in the alma mater in a few minutes. Now, the alma mater is a great tradition here, and we end most of our events with it. There's a great choral tradition here and a great tradition of songs that have to do with Cornell. And as I mentioned before, we come from widely, widely varying backgrounds and countries and points of view. So at the end of this set of remarks, I want to thank you again for coming to Cornell, for choosing us, for joining this family, for becoming a part of a great effort forward, not only in your own life, students, but as your student leader colleagues mentioned, to help change the world and to make it better, which I know you will. Thank you and congratulations and welcome. And please rise and join us in the alma mater.